Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Know. You're all fired up. Big day.
I'm all fired up. Yeah, day before Thanksgiving. Any big plans?
No, I got people coming here. What about you?
I do too. Yeah.
There you go. Family fun.
Family's in town. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Can't wait to make the turkey. I think I'm going to do something special this year.
Yeah, eggs.
Yeah. Eggs. Mm-hmm. No, but I brought you farm fresh eggs. Fresh
as
from
you
the
should.
Chickens.
As you should.
Fresh from the
How
chickens.
How many fit in that little box?
I think there's a dozen? Four. No.
20?
No, there are four eggs. But those were laid. Actually, one of them I got out of the coop this morning, and the other three were from yesterday. So they're very fresh. You're not going to get any
fresher than
that.
Do I have to refrigerate them?
Well, no, you have to eat them.
Eat them quickly?
Well, you can refrigerate them if you're not going to eat them in the next week.
Deal.
Resourceful. Speaking of resourceful, we have a great show this morning. You know, there's a lot of networking groups and a lot of folks that get together to provide resources for specific industries, which is really smart. And when you think about specific industries that are growing or those that really require expertise on the part of those that are selling to them or marketing to them, the physicians group is definitely one that, you know, they're short on time. They need to have good referrals when it comes to services. And this morning we have a group of individuals that get together regularly and provide resources for one another. But most importantly, they provide resources for the medical community. First up this morning, we have Soyini, who is here to talk to us about her business and how she relates to physician. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Soyini.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell us, you're part of this networking group. You probably do market to other folks as well, but tell us about your business and what physicians or the medical community can draw from you.
Sure. So my company is a strategic advisory for small businesses and entrepreneurs specializing in writing business plans. And about a third of our practice is in healthcare. Serving a number of physicians who are looking to branch out and start related businesses or divisions of their existing practice. And so that's how I serve the medical community. And in addition to some other related industries like some medical facilities and then also other kinds of medical devices and things as well.
Are you amazed how many people don't have a business plan?
Absolutely. What I've found with my clients is that a lot of times, because they're involved in the day-to-day operations of their business, they don't really see the value of doing a business plan. And so people will put it off or they'll delay or just neglect to do it and then often end up dealing with the results of that later on.
So, Yini, when working with physicians, I mean, they went to medical school to practice medicine. So often they don't know the business side. What are some of the things that you might work with them to help? Like, we're nearing the end of 2009, when people want to start 2010 fresh and with a good plan. What's your advice as far as helping them to develop a business plan? What are the first steps?
I think the first thing is to really look at what their goals are. Both in the very short term, so for the year that they're doing the plan for, and then also looking kind of in the longer term about what they want to achieve with the business. I find with physicians in particular and other high-end service professionals, what they'll do is they'll get into their business and they'll develop a really great client base, but they won't really know or look at how to exit. So, I know that most physicians don't want to be practicing when they're 90. And so they really need to look at and start to develop a plan around, well, how am I going to transition this? Am I going to sell my practice? Am I going to bring in an understudy who can take over and take over the practice from me and buy me out eventually? And so the first thing is to really develop a sense of what their short-term and long-term goals are. And then from there, you can start to look at, well, what are the revenue and profit margins, which are some things that physicians often don't look at, but what kind of cash flow is going to be required for them to achieve their financial goals in the time period that they're looking at. So that's where I would advise, most physicians to start.
How are you counseling the doctors to deal with the upcoming healthcare reform?
Well,
how can you prepare for something that's, no one knows what it's going to be?
Well, what I would say to, or what I would tell my physician clients is mainly to do research. So to just begin to get to know what are the sources of information that that they need to keep up with over time. And they may want to get an RSS feed from those sources, mm-hmm. so that they can track the information as the information comes out.
Right.
And it seems like with the way managed care works now, there's less and less reimbursement to physicians. Do they oftentimes have to get creative as to where their cash flow may come from, or maybe scale back on the resources within? I mean, how does that usually work, or does it just depend on the practice?
I think that, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of my physician clients will retain me, is that they will look creatively at how they can use either their existing patient base or client base, or their existing core competencies or skills in their practice to launch something else that's related. So, for example, one client that I'm working with is looking at doing something related to electronic medical records that's a direct offshoot of his existing business and things like that. So they'll look at how can I use the existing skills and client base I have to generate revenue and cash flow in other ways.
Yeah, asking for referrals. I mean, that's something you really don't think of very often in the medical field, but what about a referral from someone that's a happy patient, right?
So I think there are two things that physicians can do. They can look at growing their existing practice, which would be exactly what you're describing, or they can look for other ways that are not tied to Medicare or insurance reimbursements to grow their practice.
Like, and so clients, for example, what would be an example of that?
In terms of growing their existing client base, it would be things like exactly what Amy advised. So, looking at doing internet marketing, mm-hmm. for certain kinds of specialties that people look for on the internet. I hear plastic surgery is, you know, really people look for plastic surgeons on the internet, and other kinds of internet marketing. And then, trying to grow their client base, things like that. And then that's in their existing practice. And then for other things, for example, one client that I have is doing some medical spa related things that are an mm-hmm. offshoot of, you know, their existing practice or existing client base.
So folks are listening and that's nearing the end of 2009, they want to start off 2010 on a positive note. Whether they've already been successful, there's always room for a practice to be more successful. Or if they're really struggling, how can they reach you?
Well, certainly they can go to my company website, which is www.anona, that's A-N-N-O-N-A, enterprises.com. Or they can contact my company by phone, which is the telephone number is 888-688-3877.
Great. Any final thoughts for our listeners as far as, if they're listening and they're thinking, well, maybe I should call her, maybe, you know, what's one big mistake people make where they really need you?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is people just don't do the planning. I think that it's really important, even if people can just take a day, sometime towards the end of the year, maybe during that week between Christmas and New Year's, to sit down and think about how they want the year to go.
Sure.
And how they're going to make sure that it goes that way, because we're dealing in very uncertain times and we all need to adjust. And so taking that one day or day and a half to sit down, and it doesn't need to be anything formal, although, you know, I think formal business plans do help. But to actually do it, I think, is the most important thing.
To get the year off right.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You need to call. Definitely, and get a business plan set up. And give us one more time the web address.
www.anona, A-N-N-O-N-A, enterprises.com.
Thank you, Soyini. Thank you so much for sharing with us. What a great service to provide, too, for physicians,
yeah.
because they don't always have the business sense.
Right. They're doctors.
That's right. But, you know, one thing you do expect now when you go to the doctor is a pleasant experience. You go to the waiting room, and it just starts off the visit perfectly. If the music is right, the ambiance is there, it's no longer the sterile environment it used to be. And next up this morning, we have Melanie McElroy of Muzak. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning.
Tell us about Muzak.
Muzak has been around for 75 years. We are the world's largest provider of background music. We also have several other services, being voice and on-hold messaging. We provide digital signage as well as television. We are a Dish Network affiliate.
So you provide the television with the different shows, or you just pull Dish Network programming?
We do Dish Network programming. We can also do digital signage, so
you can run your own ads inside?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's another revenue stream.
Absolutely. And it's a captive audience. I always think about that. You're sitting there. You have nothing better to do. Definitely a captive audience. So you do the sound system for this as well?
Yes, I can design the sound system.
And I also noticed that the last time I was at the doctor, which was just a couple weeks ago, there was a masking system in the room so that the people in the other room couldn't hear the confidential conversation I was having with my doctor. What's that all about?
Well, in recent years, patient confidentiality has become a big issue, and we can put white noise in the hallways, in between rooms, in rooms, so that you don't hear what's going on in the exam room next to you.
And when you call the doctor's office, sometimes you'll be put on hold.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to check records, you got to check scheduling, or you got to wait for the doctor or the nurse to answer your call. So if they're waiting on hold, you might as well tell them a little bit about who you are and your company and your office and how long the doctors have been there so you can educate and entertain them.
And is that called voice?
We call that voice because it's your voice while on hold.
Okay.
Oh, so you actually use the doctor's voice or somebody in the office?
No, we have a voice consultant. Once you get set up with us, you get assigned a voice consultant. This voice consultant will help you write a script. We'll help you pick which voice talents. We do have voice talents that work for CNN and Disney, so we have great personalities that you can use. And if you want a British accent, or if you want, you know, anything, we can have that available for you.
You could do, like, celebrity impersonators?
Sure.
That works. So what are some of the other benefits?
Imagine you call your doctor and it's like Dr. House.
Exactly. If that's what you want to do, we'll do it for you.
That would surprise you, I think. What are some of the other benefits of using Muzak?
Well, with Muzak, like so many other big companies, you're just a nameless face. Every client is important to us, so we kind of give it a personal touch. If you never need anything, we do give our personal cell phone so that you can get in touch with us right away. We know this is a business, and if your music goes down, it's a big deal. We want to make sure that you're taken care of right away. We also provide the world's largest digital library. So we have lots and lots of music to choose from. If you want Frank Sinatra in your waiting room, we can do that for you.
That would be nice. You know, I notice when I go to the dentist, they always have cool music, and I always comment about it. And the receptionist, Kathy, always says, everybody always says that. But I think they probably know their audience. You know, it's 70s and 80s music, and they probably know that I'm sitting there. And I know that stuff, right?
How many, like, people does an average doctor see? Like, how many are really captive in an office? Do you know?
Well, it kind of depends on what
like
office
it is.
It is
the practice,
how big the practice is. But, I mean, just about everybody, when you call your office, you have to be put on hold at some point. Or you have a call greeter that will say, you know, thank you for calling. Press 1 for directions. Press 2 for the nurse. Press 3 for the billing department.
Sure.
You know, so we can set that up for you as well. So it's a consistent brand of voice. Muzak is all about creating experience through sight, sound, and we also have smell as well.
Really? Aroma?
Tell me about
aromatherapy brand?
Sort of. It's called Scent Air, where we have over 1,000 different scents to choose from. And, you know, we've seen it in MRI centers where you want a patient to feel relaxed so they're calm and they can sit there in the machine and take their time and, you know, get the procedure done. So they've decided, but through studies, you can see that certain smells, lavender, green tea, and lemongrass, they relax people, which is why everybody burns candles and uses perfume. I mean, it does something. So now Muzak is using the sense of smell to also, you know, brand your business.
I like that. It would be nice to go into a doctor's office and have it smell like lavender or vanilla rather than alcohol.
Right.
Or stinky
or
feet.
Bleach.
Yeah, or bleach. Bleach, that is such a distinct smell. Not a good one. It burns your nose. But I can see where that would definitely help relax, especially a patient in an MRI experience, which oftentimes people are very anxious. Tell us how people can reach you, and if they're listening, you don't just do doctor's offices as far as your sound systems.
No, I mean, anywhere that needs speakers, we can provide music for there. We also do, like, restaurants, hotels, office buildings, property management.
Okay, great. And how can folks reach you?
You can reach us at www.muzak.com, which is M-U-Z-A-K, and my direct line is 404-538-3348.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Music definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, huge.
I'll be the first to say. And the smell would be
That's a bonus.
You know, I have this keen sense of smell, and it's not always a good thing. Definitely not always a good thing, especially on the airplane. Next up, we have Alicia Farnham, and Alicia has a very important service that she helps to provide physicians and other companies that is oftentimes overlooked. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Alicia.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what types of services do you offer?
I actually work for a 20-year-old human resource services organization called Basic Online, and we provide third-party administrative services through health insurance agents, things like COBRA administration, flexible spending accounts, which for doctors' practices are extremely important because they do realize the liability associated with, you know, all things, whether it be patient liability or business liability. But our fastest-growing division is our payroll service division, and that's really what I focus on with the doctor's offices.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, we said a lot of doctors' offices aren't, they're in the field of medicine, but when you don't pay your employees right, or the taxes aren't taken out right,
that's game over, right?
Yeah, definitely game over. And by bringing you in, you can help with the benefits, like you said, and then the payroll services. Maybe any other services that you provide, do you do manuals or compliance? I mean,
we actually do offer full service human resource solutions. But, you know, when I'm working with doctor's offices, I typically find that they do want to outsource their payroll because it's just one more thing that they don't want to have to take care of themselves. The liability associated with making sure your taxes are paid on time. If you have one little hiccup with the IRS or the Department of Labor, there are tracers and notices that are sent out that, you know, kind of have the government agencies keeping their eye on your business at that point. So outsourcing your payroll to a service provider like ours will allow the doctors to have peace of mind that their employees are paid timely, that their taxes are paid timely, and that they're going to be in compliance. So what I found with medical practices and really all businesses in general is that folks are looking for an alternative to the traditional payroll companies out there. There's three reasons that a practice might switch their payroll service provider. It's either going to be service, because they're looking for a more proactive customer service. Technology, they want something easy to use so they can quickly get their employees paid. Or price. So, excuse me. So those are the three reasons that someone might typically make a change. And we really strive and are far ahead in all three areas. So January is when it's really the easiest time of the year to make a change in your payroll service provider. So this is really our busiest time of the year where we're making a lot of bringing on a lot of new clients.
Can you share any success stories with us? I mean, any type of story where you might have helped a small business?
Absolutely. I actually just signed up a new client that was referred to me 2 years ago. So I've been doing this for about 15 years here in Atlanta, and I'd say at least 90% of my business has come through referrals. So I was referred by a health insurance agent to a company 2 years ago who ended up signing up for payroll with me. But just because of, you know, being busy, their practice was busy, they were growing, it just wasn't a priority. So they never really actually ran payroll with us. But, you know, I have great relationships with folks. I keep in touch. And 2 years later, you know, they were in a different position. They had hired a HR manager. So they had a little bit more support for the business side, and brought me back in and just signed them up for payroll last week. So really excited about getting them started in January.
That's great.
So now if someone's using you for payroll, what is the experience like as opposed to if they were doing it themselves? Like, how much time does this really save them?
Sure. Well, a lot of my referrals actually come from accountants and CPAs. And even if it's a very small business, maybe a doctor practice where they have one employee, their nurse, let's say, they fall under the same scrutiny and liability through the IRS as a company with 100 employees. They still have to make their tax deposits on a timely basis. So what we do is actually make those tax deposits, their payroll tax deposits, on the behalf of the client. So instead of a doctor who's running a practice thinking, oh my gosh, it's the 15th of the month. I better make sure that I send over that tax deposit to the IRS. Part of our payroll solution is actually not only just paying their employees through, you know, live checks or completely paperless payroll through direct deposit, but we make the tax deposits on their behalf and file all their payroll tax returns and assume 100% liability associated with that. So it's That's one key. Less thing that the doctor has to right. think about, and they can just focus on, you know, growing their practice and running yep. their business.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to do the payroll.
Exactly.
Definitely not. We'll let Alicia do that. Alicia, tell us how folks can reach you.
Well, our website is actually basiconline.com, and my email address is afarnum, and that's F-A-R-N as in Nancy, U as in Mary, afarnum@basiconline.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Amy.
I would highly recommend folks reach out and have their payroll done by somebody else. We've heard more and more examples of where companies have actually
gone. Horror stories of that.
And sometimes they even just completely go under because right. they can't get back out from underneath that.
Right. If you miss a couple tax payments, yeah. the government doesn't like that.
No.
They like to get paid.
And they keep track of that. And physicians oftentimes are under such scrutiny anyway because of Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
That's the last thing they want, is getting into tax trouble.
Right.
They need Alicia. And you know what? And if somebody said earlier about, you know, people go online to look for physicians. Believe it or not, they do. They go online to look for specialty physicians, plastic surgeons, dermatologists, you know, you name it. People are going online for everything now. And our next guest knows what it's like to go online because she's the Google girl. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Leslie Ann McAllister.
Thank you very much, Amy.
So, Leslie Ann, what are some of the things you can do for physicians as the Google girl? I mean, people are going online, and I want to find a physician that's close to my house. I live in 30350. What can you offer?
Well, a lot of doctors are kind of adverse to the concept of being on the search engines. But in reality, people are going online more and more, particularly if it's something that's more of a sensitive topic. I mean, if you're not you, Amy, but if you're looking for a facelift, you may not want to
oh,
let
no.
people...
Oh, no. Lee.
Really?
What's up
I
with that?
I did not know.
Well, you know, I have
did
the face
know.
For radio, so...
Oh, Amy. But they may not necessarily feel comfortable asking. Ditto with things right. like hair replacement. Maybe you want to get your little, you know, body nipped and tucked. There may be issues with people wanting to have a vasectomy. I mean, these are all things that people may not be comfortable asking.
Sure.
So they go online, and they go to Google, and they go to the other search engines, and they're typing those things in. And what I do is make sure that my clients are visible, but not only is visibility, but we produce results. Because a lot of people say, oh, someone's handling that for me. They may spend $5,000 or $10,000, and they've spent all this money, and their phone has never rung. So that's what I do, is make sure that we're setting up the best responsible program that's going to strategically attract the services they want to do in the area that they want to do, that's going to convert to potential patients.
So I'm a physician. My business is down. I'm going to start adding electrolysis, maybe doing some facials and Botox in addition to my gynecology practice. I have no idea how I'm going to get clients through the door. I come to you, Leslie Ann. Well, how do you help me? What are some of the steps we take?
Well, it's a strategic planning session. I want to know what services tend to lead to repeat business, what are more profitable, and those kind of things that you really and truly see as a long-term investment for your patients. And then I will make recommendations about how we can kind of get your website up to par to make sure that those people that I'm driving to your website are then engaged to interact with you offline. Because a lot of people think that if they spend a lot of money on their website, that that's going to convert to business.
And it's not. How are you driving them there? Is it keywords? Or
it's using the search engines, Google and Yahoo. A lot of people kind of overestimate which keywords drive business, and it's a really complex thing. There's a lot of things that are going on as well with the search engines right now with shifting of algorithms. So if you say, I've got my first page placement on my keywords, that's actually going to probably be changing if you aren't looking at social media right now. People that have focused on links and different things like that are now going to find that their positioning may start dropping over the next several months.
How do companies determine what their keywords are?
Well, it's about what type of business you want to attract. For example, if you're a plastic surgeon, you may say that I really and truly want to focus on facelifts. I don't want to focus on, focusing on Botox. There's other services that doctors really and truly want to grow more than others. And so that's what I do, is focus on driving that right type of business, but also making sure that that other type of business that they don't want to attract is not being focused on the internet.
But a lot of times the doctor will use certain phrases or terminology that maybe the person searching doesn't use. How do you use the right language?
Exactly. Sometimes the doctors overthink things. For example, I have a doctor that has worked in the fertility area and has been doing his own Google AdWords campaign, I think he said, for about 7 years. And every month he was spending about $900 on one word alone. And he's now been with me for about 6 or 7 months, and I'm able to see what his top performing keywords are. And that word he's been bidding $900 a month on spending is not even his top producing phone calls, keyword-wise. And so he said, how much money have I blown? And I said, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the business that I am driving. And I've been able to drive more than 100 phone calls a month to his practice, just working with me directly.
That's terrific. And probably you can think outside the box, too. I mean, he's thinking inside the box. These are my keywords. But you do this with lots of different industries and lots of different businesses. You can shed a lot of light, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I say to people, if you want to attract people that are looking for the services you offer but don't know you by name or reputation, we absolutely should talk. Also, if someone has been doing their own internet marketing or has been using an outside company, I'm happy to sit down with them and just do an overview. I have the highest level of certification from Google and Yahoo that an individual can have, and it hurts nothing to sit down and look. I can probably make some suggestions, and at worst, they'll walk away learning a little bit more about their own internet strategy.
And how can people reach out to you if they want to learn more?
The best way to reach me is via phone. My number is 770-906-2608.
Leslie Ann McAllister, the Google Girl.
Thanks, Amy.
It's wonderful. You know, Leslie Ann has been on our show before, and folks that have been guests of our show have reached out to her. And I love hearing the stories of how she's helped. And I also love the hug around the neck, because when you give a good referral, people love you for it. So thank you for being with us today. Next up, we have Lance, and Lance is with the Atlanta Technology Group. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Lance.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the invite.
You know, Lance, we're talking about keyword searches and on the internet, and regardless, every single physician's office has some type of technology and are more and more getting onto electronic medical records. Tell us about Atlanta Technology Group and how y'all help physicians.
Well, we work with physicians, and we specialize in helping mainly physicians that are still using paper charts, which are the majority at this time, convert from a paper chart system over to electronic health records. Also, to make the software work according to the way they work with their workflow.
Sure. I know some companies have so many files and so many records that it's crazy. You go into their office, and it's like it's taking up so much space, too. What do you find by converting to electronic medical records you can save as far as maybe even time, or can you give us maybe a case study?
Well, I mean, one of the main things that doctors eliminate first off is the chart chase. That's where the patient's in the room, they can't find the chart, or the patient's in the waiting room. Either way, they're waiting and waiting and waiting for the doctor, and the chart's nowhere to be found. Also making sure that the documents and the doctor's notes actually get to the chart.
What about the weight? The weight of all those files. No, really, like some doctors' practices, it could be floors, right, taken up of space just holding paper.
I've seen doctors' offices that have multiple offices that could be used by personnel that is nothing but files.
Yeah. So that saves them a lot of money then, right? If you can move that into electronic, and then they can actually put something revenue-generating inside this room.
Space. It's less storage space, and it's also less liability. If you got it electronically, then you've got backups.
Right.
The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, passed by Obama, includes over $20 billion in aid to develop this robust IT infrastructure for healthcare. We've heard a lot about it. I know Newt Gingrich talks about it all the time, too. Tell us a little bit about why is the federal government actually giving the stimulus money to the healthcare industry, do you think?
Well, the medical industry has been very reluctant to embrace technology in the past. In the 90s and the early 2000s, we saw, we had an economic boom. And a lot of the reason for that is because so many industries were starting to reap the benefits of technology, more productivity, higher efficiency. What the government's attempting to do now is get that same productivity and efficiency into the healthcare system. And they want to do that, number one, through electronic prescriptions and electronic health records.
Those are two very hot topics. So the electronic prescriptions, give us some benefits of that. I know there are oftentimes drugs will interact with one another. Mm-hmm. Maybe speak to the electronic prescriptions a little bit so our listeners know what they will be receiving by an electronic prescription.
Well, there's a couple benefits, and you named the number one right there is drug interactions. Now, we know that a number of drug stores out there today offer drug interactions. If you get one drug from one and one drug from another drug, the the pharmacy can catch that and say these two drugs interact, you can't take them together. Mm-hmm. The problem is so many people visit different pharmacies. I know I do. It depends on who's closest to me when I see the doctor.
Sure.
This takes it back to the doctor who's prescribing the medications. If he prescribes something that interacts with something he's prescribed before, the computer system will alert him.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, something that's also beneficial to doctors is compliance. He can find out whether or not his patients are filling those prescriptions, whether they're taking them. Mm-hmm. And if it's 30-day supplies and they're filling them every 45 days, yeah, they're taking them, but they're not taking them the way he's prescribed.
So right now there's no method of doing of checking that?
There's not.
Other than just the honesty system.
Right.
So, yeah, I would see that that would be a big help for physicians.
And it reduces liability to them as well.
Right.
Absolutely. But most importantly, and it's been known for years in the medical industry, is just the redundancy of testing or the duplicacy of testing. You go to your general family guy and he does all your CBC and your complete blood work and might do something even beyond. And then you go to the specialty doctor and he repeats all the blood work.
He has to do the same thing again to cover his butt, right?
Exactly. So, right. So tell us how the medical records and the EMR systems are going to help.
Well, that's where EHR, electronic health records, comes in. In order for it to be certified by the government, it's got to allow the exchange of information.
Right.
So your general practitioner can forward your chart automatically and electronically to a specialist that you see.
Right.
And they got the same information that he has. They can make notes to the same information, send it back to you. You know what they've done. They know what you've done.
Sure.
You're all sharing one record.
Right. Instead, when my mother was ill, she had this chart in the hospital, like it was like the size of a phone book, and they're all like looking through back pages, like go back five pages and then look at it. I mean, it seemed,
and then when
ridiculous.
You look at those records, they don't have the x-rays or the MRIs
exactly.
They're electronic. That's incorporated into the record itself.
It just made no sense.
What do doctors have to do to qualify for the money that's available?
Well, there's a few things. Number one, they need to currently they need to accept Medicaid or Medicare is the number one prerequisite. Another prerequisite is they've got to have an electronic health records in place. They need to have it up and running. They need to be meaningfully using that.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's,
I know. We are all discussing
that. Sounds like a
that.
Gray area.
That's the buzzword. That's the buzzword in the industry right now, that's for sure. They've came out with some guidelines. If you're able to exchange health records, that's number one, that's meaningful use. If you're contributing to the health information exchange where people can get statistics on how many people have diabetes and how many people that have diabetes end up getting problems with their eyes or problems with their cardiac problems, so that those statistics can be gathered. That's another way. I don't know if I mentioned, but electronics prescriptions as well.
Sure. So you said they've already got to have the system in place. So this is a credit now that they're getting cash to apply, or how does that work?
Right now, it depends on if they're Medicaid or Medicare, but primarily it is a reimbursement.
Okay.
And the reimbursement works out a number of different ways depending on what kind of practice they are. But typically, it's going to reimburse them at 100%.
Wow.
It depends on a number of different factors. But I've not seen one yet where they weren't going to get about 100% on Medicare.
So that sounds like a pretty good deal, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it includes a lot of things. It's not only the EHR system. It's the servers that run the EHR system. It's the backup systems that back up the EHR. It's the computers for the receptionists.
So they really want doctors to do this, huh?
They really want doctors to do this. And it's actually impressive. President Bush started it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make sense when you think about it. And I think that this is the extra push that's going to give physicians the need to take the extra
but
step.
But are they doing it, or – I mean, 100%. I mean, there's no – what's the compelling reason not to do it if it's basically free?
Reluctance to accept technology. They've
exactly.
been doing it this way for decades, and no one likes change. Change can be painful.
Yeah.
So that's why so many are not doing it.
And you have to store all those records too, Lee. You have to then get a storage facility because you have to store them if they're pediatric records up to a certain number of years, if they're adult records.
What, the paper records?
Exactly.
And this
you
is
can't
just
scan them in?
Oh, absolutely.
You scan them in, but
and then you can't get rid of them once you've scanned them electronically?
You can.
Interesting.
See that, Amy?
Well, I've got a lot to learn, and I'm sure a lot of other folks have a lot to learn. That's why you're putting on a seminar, Lance. Tell us about that.
Yeah, on December 1st at the Cobb County Chamber of Commerce, you know, we've talked to a number of doctors, and they all have a number of questions. You know, reading a bill that's, you know, 700-800 pages long from Congress.
I thought it was like 2,000 pages.
It depends on if you're just reading the addendum or the entire bill. But you know, they've got a number of questions. What do I got to do to qualify? Am I eligible? What are the requirements? How much money am I entitled to? And these are all things we're going to go over. And, you know, it's not only the carrot where they're going to give you the money to implement this. It's also the stick that if they don't implement it, then their Medicaid and Medicare bills are billing is going to be reduced by up to 5%.
Yeah, the reimbursement is reduced. So, yeah.
And the reimbursement disappears. Anything they bill Medicaid or Medicare, they're actually going to start taking 5% off.
Wow. So if you need to learn more about, if you're an office manager, definitely, and need to learn more about EMRs and how you can go about taking advantage of these credits, how can folks reach you, Lance?
They can reach me a number of ways. They can reach me by phone at 678-451-3029, or they can go to our website, atlantahealthrecords.com, and if they want to register for the seminar, they can go to atlantahealthrecords.com/ARRA.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being with us today. That's a lot of money on the table that people really need to take advantage of. When you talk about putting a lot of money on the table, there's also, you know, you go to the hospital or you go to the doctor and there's that paper thing on the table and there's the tongue suppressor. Yeah. There's all those things that make a medical practice work, and we kind of take those for granted, but Anna Moore doesn't because that's the business she's in. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Anna.
Thank you, Amy.
So, Anna, tell us about ALSCO. Am I saying it right?
You are.
And what kind of services you provide?
Well, first of all, a lot of people aren't familiar with our name because it's an acronym that stands for American Linen Supply Company. And the reason we go by ALSCO is because we are global. So if one of our delivery trucks or collateral were to be in Italy or Australia, it wouldn't be very fitting to have American Linen Supply.
Got
so
it.
We go by ALSCO.
That works. And when you say linens, are these all like the linens that we're thinking of? Or
like hospital linens?
They are. The linens that we service are things like doctor's towels, OR towels, sheets when you go into the doctor's office and you're sitting on the exam table. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's covered with paper, but we provide the linen sheets.
The nice ones.
Yes,
I like those much better.
The ones that don't
scratch. Yeah. And you probably do those little things that you put on that aren't paper that tie in the back. I like those much better, too.
Those are patient gowns. And we also have MAMO capes and other types of gown style
garments.
MAMO
capes. Sounds like superhero wear.
Doesn't it? A MAMO cape. I like that. So go into maybe a little bit more about the linens and how they meet the standards of the medical industry.
Absolutely. Well, we are in compliant with OSHA, which stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the standards that they put out. They have very strict standards, and our processes that we do are to ensure that we're in compliance. We train and educate our employees, and the ones that work in our designated healthcare areas in our facility, they know the proper procedures. For example, the chemicals that are used are designed to meet ALSCO and government specifications to ensure proper cleaning and sanitation. And anytime during our normal operating hours, we can be spot checked or be inspected by JCO, which is the Joint Commission for the Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations. So we pride ourselves on maintaining the high standards within our industry.
That makes sense. Anything eco-friendly? We talk. Yeah. We like to go green here. Anything?
Yes, lots. I am very proud to be able to tell customers and potential customers that we have many things that we do to be eco-friendly. For example, our state-of-the-art water reuse systems uses up to 50% less water and 30% less chemicals. So that is huge. I think another thing to mention would be our textiles don't create waste like disposables do, so therefore we're not filling up the landfills.
That makes sense.
Do you guys provide that good Purell thing next to the doors when you go into the room?
Those are good ideas.
We actually do have that as our as one of our services that we can provide.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very good.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah,
and we actually provide them to places like schools as well. With
Yeah, I've seen them in schools.
So it's a very good product to have.
All of these products are necessary for any physician's office. How can they reach you?
They can reach me at A. Moore, which is M as in Mary, O-O-R-E, at ALSCO.com, or I can be reached directly at 404-488-0720. And also our website, www.alsco, which is spelled A-L-S-C-O.com, is a great resource for information.
Terrific. So people can go there and find all the products and services?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
We would love for you to check it out.
Great stuff. Thanks for being with us today, Anna.
Thank you.
Lee, if I were a physician or a practice manager.
One-stop shop here today, right?
One-stop shop. I'd listen, and then I'd start taking notes, and exactly. I would make my life a lot easier, right?
A lot easier.
Wonderful. And, of course, if you need any kind of benefits, you know you can call Amy Otto at Aflac, right?
That's a given.
I'm easy to reach. Wonderful. Well, Lee, I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you to all of our guests, and thank you to all of our listeners. And we'll look forward to talking with you again next week on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.